If you're a fan of daily awesome pop culture t-shirts, Ripped Apparel has you covered, and you can use promo code ACTION at checkout to get 10% off your order. That's code ACTION at checkout on RippedApparel.com.
Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. Remain thirsty.
I'm your huckleberry.
What do you say we cut the Kit Kat and haul?
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Ashcast, the podcast for November 11th, 2019. I'm your host, Zach. This time we have Chris.
Hello.
And we got a bunch to talk about this week. We're going to dive into some Disney Plus later on, because that was easily the biggest thing that happened this week, is all 10 million of us jumping onto Disney Plus. So we'll talk about that later on. But first, we'll kick things off with some trailers. We actually got a bunch of trailers for like cartoon characters coming next year in new or for the first time ever and the big screen. So definitely gotta kick things off with the second trailer for Sonic the Hedgehog, which obviously we talked about when the first trailer came out, because the entire internet was talking about it. But like, the first trailer came out and Sonic was a goddamn nightmare.
Oh my god.
With human teeth, way too like just like look like mangy and skinny and like just very horrifying.
Too like little man in a suit design, like humanoid.
Yes.
That uncanny valley of animal and like furry.
But then the shocking thing is that Paramount and the director were like, okay, we'll change it, everybody. So the movie got delayed. They have redone Sonic, and now we get to see in this new trailer that came out this week, we get to see the new Sonic, and yeah, it's way better. They should have done this the first time.
Easily the better of the two designs, which surprisingly was, that was actually one of the early rough drafts. So that is more insane to think whoever got the other version out the door.
Yeah, like they had this version ready to go, and someone was just like, "Nah, make him give him human teeth, give him human teeth and make him ganglia." Some like cigar shopping Paramount director, producer. Make scare the kids. Kids gotta feel fear.
I mean, granted, yes, if a hedgehog came to life, most likely it's from like mutations and a combination of just like, I don't know, horrific experiments, and that's exactly the Sonic you would get, like human DNA crossed with hedgehog DNA. That's what you know. Now this is like, oh, this is a very like poppy, cartoony version that, yeah, like that's what you expect it. It's like, this is the middle ground that everyone just like agrees. It's like, that's iconic enough of the character design and a little bit of like new details that kind of like make it a little stand out different, but totally what everyone's expecting.
Yeah. And the whole trailer is just like way better than the first, like the jokes are better. The music choice is better. Like, it's just like, what happened? Like, what was that first trailer?
Yeah, that first trailer made it seem like this movie was introducing the concept of Sonic, but it's just like everything that you've come to love from every version is just gone. Now this is something where, yeah, it's like they're having fun with it. It's like, hey, like everyone's having a good time. The drama is still there, but it's not as dramatic as the first movie was very dramatic. Like the first trailer of it was just like, hey, here's on the table. The plan, and here's Robotnik, and here's like Sonic getting fucking tased or like trained.
It's also the Gangsta's Paradise for some reason.
Oh, that was so weird. I forgot that was also the soundtrack too.
Yeah.
Such a misused song.
Yeah, but the new trailer definitely plays it more of like it's gonna be like a kind of like a buddy chase movie with Sonic and James Marsden trying to like outrun Robotnik. And Sonic apparently people are trying to get like whatever his power is in his universe. So he comes to our universe and just kind of just like, I'm just gonna hang out here now.
But I'm still trying to figure out, like, does Sonic in his world have the same Robotnik problem, or in this world this is where like the game takes place?
I've seen a theory that is probably gonna pan out, like, unlike some people are post, like, around the internet are posting, like, the theory is that, like, it seems like the final battle between Robotnik, like, because, like, you see in the trailer, like, Sonic, his rings are portals.
Yeah, which is weird.
So it seems like the theory is that, like Robotnik is gonna get, like, trapped in, like, Sonic's world and then become, like, Robotnik.
The actual
game Robotnik.
Totally makes sense. That's exactly. That's fine. Like, if it builds to that, and, like, totally makes sense to what we have to do.
Like, there'll be, like, an after credit scene where, like, he's, like, Jim Carrey is, like, in, like, the full, like, the full Robotnik costume or something.
But then he puts on, like, I don't know, 100, like, 200 pounds.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, definitely the thing goes from, like, this has gone from, like, a movie that's, like, possibly some sort of, like, garbage fire, like, a crazy, like, car crash disaster, like, something that, like, it might actually be kind of
Sega approved.
Yeah.
It was one thing where if Sega wasn't officially involved, but for them to, like, turn around and be like, we made a mistake, like, you made a mistake, like, that's pretty awesome of a company. Like, it feels like it's not a cash grab.
Yeah. And, yeah, so that's coming out of Valentine's Day next year, so, you know.
Take a loved one.
Yes.
Take it to see Sonic.
Yeah. So, also, on the beloved cartoon front, we got the first trailer for Scoob, with an exclamation point, Scoob, which is the third Scooby-Doo movie, but not... Has nothing to do with the two live action ones that came out like, what was that, 10 years ago, 15 years
easily,
ago?
Easily.
Yeah. It's a fully animated, and possibly the start of, like, a Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe, because other characters besides the Scooby Gang are going to be showing up in it, like Blue Falcon and Dick Dastardly and Dynamutt and Captain Caveman. But it seems like it's gonna be it's gonna kind of tell, like, retell the origin, because, like, we had in the 90s we had a pup named Scooby Doo, which is, like, the younger version of the Scooby Gang. But, like, this new movie is gonna kind of, I guess, retcon or, like, set up a new origin for everybody. But then also there's, like, a present day story where, like, the ghost of Cerberus is, like, getting unleashed, and, like, they have to stop Cerberus or something. That wasn't really in the trailer. That's, like, the IMDb description is, like, Cerberus is unleashed.
Yeah, they don't not mention that at all. So that, yeah. Thank you for spoiling the movie for us.
Yeah, the focus of the trailer is definitely, like, the, like, pup named Scooby Doo stuff. Like, all, like, the younger versions.
Which I bet you that's just, like, maybe a fourth of the movie before they jump to the present time.
Yeah. It'll be, like, the first, like, 10-15 minutes will be, like, the, like, it's, like, Scooby Doo origin, and then be like, and now it's just, like, the normal Scooby Doo gang stuff. But yeah, first thing I gotta say is, like, Will Forte is, like, the absolute perfect choice for Shaggy.
Still weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess they could have got, like, Matthew Lillard to come back, but, like, if you can't do that, I guess, yeah, Will Forte is definitely a super solid choice for Shaggy. And then, yeah, Zac Efron is Fred, Gina Rodriguez is Velma, and then Amanda Seyfried is Daphne. And then Mark Wahlberg is going to be Blue Falcon, which I think possibly factors in kind of heavily, because there's a point where, like, Scooby and Shaggy are, like, abducted by aliens, it looks like, or something, or, like, they're, like, brought to, like, his ship or something. I don't. And then Jason Isaacs is going to be Dick Dastardly, and then Tracy Morgan is going to be Captain Caveman.
Tracy Morgan as Captain Caveman is pretty funny, that idea.
Yeah. Oh, and Frank Welker is voicing Scooby. He's been voicing Scooby since, like,
the 80s.
Like, well, not no, like, well, he's been a part of, like, Scooby Doo since, like, a pup named Scooby Doo. But he was, like, voicing, like just random characters in there, and then he was, like, he voiced Fred for a bunch of stuff. But then, like, he's been voicing Scooby since, like, 99, 2000, I guess.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, and definitely, like, especially, like, coming off of, like, that Addams Family movie that just came out, like, that art style, like, this art style looks very, like, this is like a very nice art style for the Scooby Gang.
I feel like this is not the first time they've done a CG Scooby-Doo movie.
I mean, I don't know if there's been CG ones. I mean, there's been like the animated, like the direct-to-video ones, like Scooby-Doo meets Kiss or whatever, Scooby-Doo meets John Cena, or the hell those ones were. So they've been doing those for a while. But I think those were like just like those are more like traditional animation. I think this is the first like fully CG Scooby-Doo thing.
Interesting.
I mean, in the live action movies, obviously Scooby was
right, CG.
Yes, it's going to be May 15th next summer, so you know, get ready for that. And then I think like a week or two later is going to be the third SpongeBob movie. SpongeBob, Sponge on the Run, is coming up May 22nd, so that's going to be some crazy competition next summer.
Yeah, it's the year of the animation stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, the third SpongeBob movie. Speaking of fully CG, this is definitely the first fully CG SpongeBob movie. They've done like a lot of like live action mixed with like the 2D animation, but this is the first full CG 3D SpongeBob movie. And like the art style is definitely like it almost seems like claymation. Did you get that vibe, Chris?
I did. It feels like very handmade, but yes. It's an interesting take on the SpongeBob things. I've seen SpongeBob 3D stuff where it's like more joke stuff, or it's like the Simpsons 3D, whatever. It's like very blocky. You know, it's very primitive. You know, like when Homer went like to like the 3D realm.
Yeah.
So that's like what that like. I was like, oh god, I hope it doesn't look like that. But granted, like, you know. Technology is advanced where they can kind of do whatever they want and it looks decent at least.
Yeah. And also I feel like it kind of has like some of that like in the Lego movie stuff, like they took out frames to kind of make it more like feel like a little more
choppy.
Like advanced stuff, choppy and stuff. Yeah. Like it kind of feels like that too, like they're trying to make this like feel like it's like a claymation or like a sculpted thing. But yeah, visually it looks pretty cool. And it seems like pretty kind of like typical SpongeBob movie stuff. There's celebrity cameos like fucking Keanu Reeves in a tumbleweed.
That is oof.
That was insane. Just Keanu Reeves' head just like in a tumbleweed, like just like it's like Keanu Reeves just like putting his head through like a stage or something.
If I got paid a lot of money to do that.
Yeah. The Keanu-sance continues next year. the whole voice cast is obviously back. So yeah, Tom Kenny and the whole gang are back to voice the characters. So May 22nd, more SpongeBob. Man, that's going to be a rough the family audience market is going to be some rough competition next summer. So last trailer is totally different from any of those other ones. We got the first trailer for Blumhouse's reboot of Fantasy Island, which is coming, I believe, also next summer. Or is that? I'll pull up the date. I think that's like it might be a Valentine's Day one too. But yep, that's a Valentine's. So you can either watch Sonic or Fantasy Island next Valentine's Day.
Two extremes. Take the family.
Yes. Yeah, so you know, much like the Blanet Splits that came out this year, that turned something that was just like insanely cheesy in '70s into like a horror movie. Blumhouse is doing that with Fantasy Island, so like no Ricardo Montalban, no like celebrity. It's not the Love Boat on an island this time. It's Michael Pena is Mr. Rourke, who runs this island where you can like live your fantasies. But then they turn to like some nightmares for some reason. Like basically it turns to like Hostel or something where it's just like everything just goes horribly wrong. Or it's like how far will you go for your fantasy? Will you kill someone?
Well, it's like once you have the movie like The Purge, killing it is like, oh, that's it. Like that's all you want to do.
Yeah.
But I get it where it's like it's anyone's crazy thing. And probably not everyone wants a murder, but
it looked like when the guys like shows up, like wants to be like some sort of like a war hero maybe or something. Or, like he's like he has like a Vietnam fantasy. It's kind of weird, but okay. And then like Maggie Q wants her like daughter back that died or something.
So that makes more sense.
But then like Lucy Hale's just like I want to kill my high school bully or like do something like humiliate my high school bully. But yes, I mean they're definitely turned Fantasy Island into a horror movie. I don't know who was clamoring for that, but it's here.
Maybe they have an idea of this kind of like dreamlike thing, and then it's like, well, why not just call it Fantasy Island? It's like, all right, we'll just buy the rights.
Yeah,
it feels like that.
Definitely. There's definitely no Ricardo Montalban-esque anything.
Well, because there's no lesson. It's not like, like, you live your fantasy. Now you can move on with your life. This is like, oh, you're just, like, all, like, either desperate people or, like, depraved.
It's like, oh, fire festival got canceled? I guess we'll go to this fantasy island and, like, live our fantasies.
I just wonder, for Fantasy Island, though, is it going to be one of those movies where there's, like, a lesson where it's like, don't dream of shitty things? Or it's like, you know, it's like it's usually what's the canuppance of it?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. Where it's just like, oh, it's like all around shitty. Like never go to those islands. All bad places.
Yeah. Is it like have people gone there before? Like is this the first group going there, or is it have people been there before and been like, oh yeah, that was like a
great experience.
That was a great experience.
Yeah. So it's like, what's the middle ground?
What are the Yelp reviews for Fantasy Island in this universe? Like,
I said, I didn't watch the TV show to understand that. Like, I thought it was like word of mouth to get to Fantasy Island, right? Like, you had to be invited or something.
I think there was a theory that it was like it was like purgatory. Like, it was just like
I heard that theory too.
Where like Mr. Rourke was like death, and he like you just like. It was kind of like I guess it might have been like a test between like,
heaven, hell,
yeah.
Where it's like if you accept what happened, like you can move on. That's what I understood. Where it's like, cool. Then I was like, how does he do this? Like, what was the moral? Because I had a few episodes of Fantasy Island where it went wrong, where basically the person didn't learn anything.
Yeah. But then like there was it was just like full on magic, like someone got sent back in time to like find Jack the Ripper at one point, and I think literally death just showed up, or like the devil showed up, and was like sparring with Ricardo Montalban, like. Oh yeah, Roddy McDowall played the devil, who showed up and was like betting with Mr. Rourke of like, oh, let's bet on people's souls.
Yeah, Mr. Rourke's like, I do that already. Like, that's not a new game to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting. We'll see what happens.
Maybe Michael Pena is the devil. Maybe that's the twist. Is like, he's not. Because, I think the theory or like, Ricardo Montalban was like, I think Ricardo Montalban mentioned, like, he, like, was playing his character like he was, like, a fallen angel or something. Or, like, he was, like, some sort of, like...
Loki-like guy. Yeah. I always saw him like that.
But, yeah, I guess we'll find out on Valentine's Day next year.
Well, Sonic and this. This is, like...
Yeah. That'd be a crazy double feature. So, moving on from trailers, some other news that happened this week, we got some news about the Uncharted movie that's been in development for what feels like forever. I think we've gone through like at least four or five directors at this point. And the latest news is that Mark Wahlberg is apparently in talks to play Sully, which this movie's been in development for so long. He was originally going to play Drake in like the David O. Russell version of the movie. That was like the first iteration of the Uncharted movie. But that was like 5 years ago? Like longer? Yeah, that was a while ago.
It was like as soon as the first game came out, they're like, awesome, we want to make a movie. And they're like, cool. And they just kept making the games.
Yeah, so we've gone so long that Mark Wahlberg is now going to possibly play Sully, opposite Tom Holland, who is still cast as Drake.
He's still super young to be the Drake we know in the games. So,
I guess since Drake's so young, I guess that makes sense that, like, it's a younger Sully, yeah, Mark Wahlberg, but...
It makes sense, but he's still not old enough, like...
Mark Wahlberg just does not feel like a Sully, like...
Not yet.
Did you see, like, the short film that Nathan Fillion put out where, like, Stephen Lang was Sully? Like, that was awesome.
That's a good Sully, but there's, like... Stephen Lang, like, Stephen Lang now is a good Sully later. You need a younger Stephen Lang.
Or, like, I mean, since the first game came out, like, everyone's obviously been saying Bruce Campbell as Sully.
He's a little too old now.
Yeah.
He would have been good before, like, Ash vs. Evil Dead. I mean, he still got it. It's weird that, like...
Mark Wahlberg just kind of has, like, he's, like...
He's too in shape, too.
Yeah, and, like too, like, I don't, like, it's going to be, like, a douchier Sully. Like, he's not going to be, like, as charming as Sully is in the games. Like,
yeah, he's going to sound
like... He's going to be more of, like an asshole. Like,
he's going to be, like, a bro, like, a big brother to Tom Holland than actually, like, mentor, father figure.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Drake, come on, you want to go get some treasure? Like, come on, man.
Exactly. That's a little distracting for me. He doesn't know to play other characters too well. Like, he'll play him. Most people know Mark Wahlberg to be just Mark Wahlberg. You want a role as Mark Wahlberg, you get him. The other guys, the only time he's been, like, kind of, like, funny and weird. But most of the times, he's Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope we don't get,
Pain and Gain.
Mile 22, whatever, Mark Wahlberg, where he was just, like, a giant asshole.
I'm like, this is our hero? This is what we have to root for?
Yeah. And I believe... So, Travis Knight is now the current director that they'll hopefully stay on, who most recently directed Bumblebee. And I think... I don't know if they're using his script, but Joe Carnahan wrote the script, or at least he's credited as the screenplay and writer so far, so... Yeah, I mean, hopefully this thing happens. They're saying it's going to come out in December of next year, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll definitely see.
And, so Chris, what was your pick for a news story this week?
My story has to do with the Netflix and Nickelodeon deal that, like, is the rival to Disney Plus.
Yes, the week Disney Plus launches, Netflix is just like, all right, Stream Wars. Stream Wars have gone from, like, Cold War to Hot War. Like, it is full on, like,
now it's Stream Wars.
Yeah, it's World War streaming.
Now because Disney Plus was, like, announcing it, like, a year ago, and they've been building up the hype and all that. And you figure Netflix had, like, a chance to kind of, like, do something groundbreaking at New York Comic Con, because that's the only time it could be like, hey, before, like, the winter season takes off, here's one more chance at a con to, like, say something to get everyone hyped up. But they were really quiet. So this was, like, it probably just finished the deal, like, this week, in order for them to be, like, ballsy about it. Be like, yeah, that's right, Nickelodeon's coming back and edgier than ever. Like, what?
Yeah. So, yeah, they're gonna build on... So there's already some Nickelodeon specials on Netflix. There's, like, there's the Rocko's Modern Life movie. There's a Invader Zim movie that's on Netflix right now that continued, like, the shows. And so there's going to be more like that. There's going to be more. They're going to make, like, movies and specials based on, like, existing Nickelodeon properties, and then also, like, creating new Nickelodeon shows for Netflix. There's going to be, like, some sort of Rise of the Ninja Turtles special on Netflix.
I guess that's... I just don't like the new setup. I'm not a big fan of the new series of it.
I feel like it would be a bigger deal if, like, they got, like, if it was like, we have the entire Netflix has the entire, like, Nickelodeon back catalog. We have like every season of, like, all the 90s Nickelodeon shows and stuff. Like, that would be feel like that would be a bigger deal than, like, we're going to make new stuff. Because it's like, so, like, Disney Plus is like, we have the entire Disney Afternoon again. Like, you can watch Chip and Dale and DuckTales and, like, if like Netflix was like, well, we have this Nickelodeon deal, we have like Doug and Rugrats and I Real Monsters and all those old back, like all the like every episode of those shows. I feel like that'd be like kind of like a bigger like jab against Disney Plus.
Kind of, but it's like Nickelodeon shows just don't like hold up a well for most people.
Oh, and if they got like the if Netflix had like the game shows, like if they had like all the like if they had Guts and Hidden Temple and everything, then that would be like a, that would be a massive like blow.
Yeah, like, that would be different. Nickelodeon's had the better game shows than Disney.
Yeah. But I mean, this is a multi-year deal, so maybe it's maybe they'll figure out something and like get some of the. I'm not sure. Is any of the Nickelodeon old stuff like streaming anywhere right now? Like, is it on like Amazon or something, or is it Hulu? Or
I think Nickelodeon tried to do like Nick Plus. Like, I kind of remember they tried to do something.
Yeah, they have a channel. Splat? Yeah, which is on like that VRV service. It's like kind of like a cable, I guess.
Yeah, it's a weird. Thing.
You can like it's like an app, but then you can like add channels under the app. So it's like they have like there's like a Crunch. I think the Crunchyroll's under like Crunchyroll app is under VRV or something. You can like add that channel or like yeah, and there's like a Splat channel that you can add.
Yeah, but apparently that's ending soon.
Because of this Netflix deal.
Yeah, like the Splat deal is coming to a close soon. And what happened was. It used to be called like Nick Rewind 2.
Well, they used to do like on Teen Nick. They used to do like does Teen Nick still exist? I don't know.
No, SNICK. It was. Remember?
Are you talking recently or like back, way back in the day?
Way back in the day.
Yeah, SNICK. Yeah, but they had a channel called Teen Nick.
Yeah, that that became Nick.
They turned
Splat.
Into. I think they turned into like it was kind of like you know like VH1 as VH1 Classic. I think they turned Teen Nick into like Nickelodeon Classic, basically, where it's just like that was just like the like old Nickelodeon channel.
I gotcha. Yeah, and like the Splat channel was like it's like some good things. It wasn't like everything. Where basically because Disney Plus opened the door and went go at it, at least a good amount. Because I know there's a few things missing out of the Disney Plus that everyone's complaining about.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you can stream seasons of like Nickelodeon shows. I think you can like buy them on Amazon, but there's not really any, I don't think anyone have like the actual like just streaming rights. But yeah, maybe Netflix will get them, and then that would be a pretty big weapon in the streaming wars. But I mean, speaking of that, let's dive since that's it for news this week. Let's dive into. Show and Tell and Disney Plus. It launched this week. It was a little bit of a rough start, but they got 10 million subscribers on pretty much the first day. So, and I'm sure everyone was just hitting it at the same time. So that's why there's so many so there's like a bunch of like server issues and it's like some like login issues and stuff. But I didn't really run into like too many issues. The only issues I really ran into was like trying to like some pages weren't loading. I was trying to like just like go through and like add a bunch of stuff to like my watch list, and like some pages weren't loading up.
Mm-hmm.
Like 90 Spider-Man pages would not load the first day. Like I couldn't get to that page at all to like add Spider-Man to my watch list. But it seems like in the last couple days it's like they've straightened things out. It's been a lot better. There's a couple still some like random playback errors that show up every once in a while, but. What do you think of like the service so far, Chris?
It's not bad. I've been using it on the phone for a bit, and mm-hmm. the phone is that like little clunky sometimes because it's like if you want to look for TV shows, and you're like looking for it, it kind of doesn't give you like the right suggestions, and it's like they keep recommending me like the top 10 things over and over again when I'm like searching.
Yeah.
It's like Lady and the Tramp. I'm like, that's cool. I'm looking for the Spider-Man thing. Like Lady and the Tramp is in your short list. I was like, what?
Yeah. Spider-Man? No, it's like Spider-Man. High School Musical?
Yeah,
no,
like
Spider-Man. Like
it's
Jeff
like, Goldblum? I got a lot of like, that. So yeah. Like I just think like it's just its sorting algorithms still need some work.
Yeah. And I haven't watched any Simpsons yet, but apparently, like, the Simpsons is, a lot of people are, like, very upset that, like, the aspect ratio is wrong.
Yeah, they say it's, like, a port of, like, the TV version, like a syndicate version or something like that.
Yeah, so, like, the edges are chopped, like, I think that they tried to make it widescreen, but then they cut the edges off, so, like, there's, like, jokes there on the edges of, like, the original broadcast that are, like, cut off now.
That was an issue from, like, FX, too.
Yeah.
I remember the FX app thing.
I've heard people say, like, the FX app lets you choose the aspect ratio. You could just, like, switch the aspect ratio, though. But you could put it back to, like, the actual, like, 4:3. But, the Disney Plus version is just, like, it's widescreen. That's it.
That's all you get.
And I noticed a couple weird, like, I don't know if you noticed, if you've gone into, like, 90s Spider-Man yet, Chris, but, like, I haven't checked to see if as of this recording, if it's fixed or not, but like when I checked it on launch day or like a couple days ago, it's a deep into like one of the like just like the arcs from like later in the show, like Sins of the Father, where like Venom shows up and stuff.
It's like out of order.
Yeah, so they're listing that as the first episode. And it's like chapter 10 of like Sins of the Father, but then like the episode 2 is like the actual first episode. So it's just like the weird like, I cannot imagine someone like who's never seen 90s Spider-Man just like oh episode 1 I'll watch this, and it's like they're like just deep into like this insane like story arc
with like lore.
Venom and like I think Morbius is in an episode and like it's so. That was kind of a quirk, but just besides some of that stuff, it seems like a very solid streaming service. There's like there's already a ton of stuff to dive into. Like you have all the Disney Afternoon shows. You've got like 90s movies. You got like all the way back to like the 60s and 70s. You have like classic Kurt Russell movies, like The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes and stuff.
That's when like Walt Disney was obsessed with Kurt Russell.
Yes. Haley Mills and Kurt Russell were like the two hottest Disney stars. And yeah, like a bunch of our favorites from the 90s, like Blank Check is on there.
Oddities.
Yeah. Well,
some oddities.
Mr. Bookity. Fuzz Bucket.
I don't remember that.
I have no clue what Fuzz Bucket is. I just saw when they like did that like Twitter like thing a couple weeks ago of like announcing everything that was going to be on the service. Like everyone's just like Fuzz Bucket. I think that was like a straight to TV movie or something. And yeah, a ton of 90s and like earlier like Marvel shows. Like you watch like 80s Spider-Man and Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends if you want, and like Silver Surfer from the 90s. Iron Man and Incredible Hulk from the 90s.
Yeah, that's it was good, but then you get like the deep cut stuff that even I'm just like, what? Like the Spider-Woman TV show?
Yep. Multiple Fantastic Four shows. But yeah, so let's talk. Have you seen any of the like? Did you watch The Mandalorian, Chris?
Oh yeah, I did.
I think the first thing everyone watched on Disney Plus was The Mandalorian. So, yeah, let's dive into that. Spoilers for The Mandalorian, possibly. If you haven't seen it yet, I don't know what you're doing. But yeah, if you have Disney Plus and you haven't seen The Mandalorian, like I don't know what you're doing with your
Disney Plus.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was awesome. It reminded me a lot of like some of my favorite like Dark Horse comics from back in the day, or like the Boba Fett comics, and this like felt like a lot like that.
It didn't try to explain everything, which I like. It was just kind of like, here's a few things. We trust that you're mature enough to understand subtlety. Go nuts. Like,
So this first episode was directed by Dave Filoni, who brought us like Clone Wars and Rebels and everything, like some of the best Star Wars stuff. Dave Filoni is full on, like he knows what like the mythology and like what people are looking for and like how to like tease things and like dig into things. So like especially like that whole scene with like where like the Mandalorian goes and like gets like his new piece of armor and stuff and, like the Mandalorian lair, like that was all like just like Yes, this is like cool Star Wars like mythology lore stuff. And there was also like a ton of Easter eggs, just like random things, like whatever. What's the, is it like Kowaki and Monkey or whatever? Like whatever Salacious Crumb is. Like, yeah, there was, like someone just like barbecuing one of that species. Yeah. And man, yeah, man, the cast of the show is already like, just like Carl Weathers and Werner Herzog in the same fucking show. Like
Nick Nolte in there.
Yep, Nick Nolte playing like an Ugnaught.
Plus, like,
Taika Waititi is IG-11, who's like the IG, like the assassin droid,
mm-hmm.
who is that was great. Like, I loved like all of his like it's just like very like just like methodical, like logical, just like I loved that, like every time like they were like in the big shootout, whenever they got where they're getting like surrounded, he'd just be like, "Well, I'm gonna self-destruct," and the Mandalorian was just like, "Nope, don't do that."
You think he's gonna show his face ever, or are they really gonna play it like Dread?
I hope they never show his face. That'd be awesome.
Well, Boba Fett did, so I can see that.
Like they make it like that first guy they captures like makes a joke of like, "I heard you guys never take your helmets off." I feel like maybe that'd be like the big like last episode like the last episode reveal or something. Just like he takes his mask off for some reason.
I can see that.
But just tons of really great like Star Wars like the great action, like it looks awesome. Like it looks like it doesn't look like it looks like a like it has like a full like movie budget. It doesn't look like they like cheapened down anything as far as like making a TV show.
No, I feel like it's a full like movie.
Yeah, I love the fact that like he has like if you remember like the holiday special, the Boba Fett cartoon, like the Mandalorian in the show has like the exact same like weird like shock weapon that like Boba Fett had in the cartoon.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah, like if you watch the holiday special cartoon, like it's like Boba Fett has this like really weird like prong shock thing, yeah, which is like the Mandalorian's main weapon in the show, so. Yeah, lots of awesome deep cut stuff. A crazy twist at the end, which I have no clue what the fuck they're gonna do with that. But the fact that like the bounty is like a baby Yoda or like a baby Yoda species,
which makes sense because you don't see a lot of them. So it's like, hey, we have something really precious, and it's like we don't want it to grow up to be force sensitive.
Yeah, is it Yoda and Yaddle's son? Does Yoda and Yaddle get it on at some points?
Who's Yaddle?
Yaddle is, if you watch Phantom Menace, there's a female Yoda on the council who's named Yaddle. Uh-huh. That's the only other, like species that's like the same as Yoda that we've ever seen in Star Wars.
I'm gonna be honest, I didn't watch all of Clone Wars.
Well, that was in Phantom Menace, the movie, like the.
Oh.
So if you watch Phantom Menace again, which I don't know why you would, but I mean, it's in 4K, I guess you can watch it in 4K on Disney Plus if you want. But yeah, if you watch the Jedi Council scenes, there's a...
I didn't know that was a woman.
Yeah, it's a female Yoda species. I don't know if they ever named what species Yoda is, but like, yeah, her name is Yaddle. But definitely 100% going to keep watching Mandalorian. I think they said new episodes every Friday, so it's going to be like a weekly thing. Actually, by the time you're hearing this, the second episode, it should be up. So maybe we'll talk about the second episode next week and see if it continues to be awesome. Then I also saw the first episode of Jeff Goldblum, or was it The World According to Jeff Goldblum, I think is what it's called, right?
Something like that.
It is like 100% uncut, pure Jeff Goldblum. Like you're in danger of like overdosing for the Jeff Goldblumness of it. Like his narration is just like so just like Jeff Goldblum-y, and he's just like it's and basically the premise is like he just like he's just like everyone where sneakers come from? Let's go find out about sneakers. And he's like it's just like Jeff Goldblum like just wandering around like talking to people about sneakers and like going to Sneaker Con and like going to like Adidas headquarters and stuff. And it's basically like every episode of the show is going to just be like Jeff Goldblum just be like, do you guys eat ice cream? Let's go find out what ice cream is, like how people make ice cream.
It's a weird introduction, but I get it.
Yeah. It's Jeff Goldblum is just like at peak Goldblum. Like this is like this is highest level Jeff Goldblum. Like he can never be more Jeff Goldblum than he is on the show. But it seems like it'll be fun. It'll be like it's just like Jeff Goldblum mixed with like a travel or No Reservations sort of, but wackier and Jeff Goldblumier, and like more focused on like a specific topic. Like he's not going like specific like cities or anything. He's just like jeans. you guys wear jeans?
Weird,
let's go find
right?
out, let's go find out how jeans are made. Like, so yeah, so that seems like a fun show for another one, Disney original. Did you see any other like original stuff, Chris?
I haven't yet.
Yeah, none of the other original stuff. Like, there's like the Imagineering story. I might check out. I think it's only like 5 minutes though, so that's kind of weird. And yeah, there's a new Lady and the Tramp movie, which is the only like original movie up right now. Or no, actually, there's the weird like Anna Kendrick, Bill Hader Christmas movie, Noelle.
Oh yeah,
there,
yeah. I thought that was
which I've heard is terrible, but
I was wondering about that. I saw that and I was like, what is this?
Yeah, that's also I believe that's also up right now. So. But yeah, mainly, besides like the Mandalorian, Jeff Goldblum, like this is mainly just gonna be like let's just rewatch just the Disney afternoon, or rewatch Gargoyles or like watch '90s Spider-Man again. Well, actually, before that, I'm gonna try to catch up. I gotta finish like the second season of the new DuckTales because I was watching that and like I got sidetracked in the middle of the second season, so finish that up on Disney Plus. Which, if anyone's not seen the new DuckTales yet, it's on Disney Plus. Check that out; it's awesome. It's not quite as good as Gravity Falls, which is also on Disney Plus, and you should also watch that if you haven't seen it. But
yeah, that one have you not seen? If you've never seen like a season of Gravity Falls, like that's weird.
Yeah, that's definitely like a number. Like add that to your watch list, like right now if you've not seen Gravity Falls.
Required watch
yes.
now. It's like yeah. part of like the world.
Yeah.
It's like Rick and Morty in that sense, where it's like, even if you don't know what Rick and Morty is, like, if you don't know what the story is, you should at least know, like, one thing about it.
They're in the same universe, like, technically, because they have an Easter egg. There's a background Easter egg that, like, connects them. Which, actually, speaking of Rick and Morty, did you see the first episode of that, Chris?
I did.
Yeah, so did I. It was, I believe we're getting 5 new episodes in a row, and then we're kind of like off for who knows how long again. But yeah, season 4 premiere, pretty awesome, like typical Rick and Morty shenanigans happening, like jam packed as usual. Like there's like it was like 3 or 4 different things that could have been just like they're like an episode by themselves, but they just like crammed them all into one episode.
And they played around with it, because there's a whole bunch of fun things about that episode that they just don't get into.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so, there's the whole thing where, like they're, like, collecting death crystals, which show you how you die, and then, like, Morty's, like, using them to, like, because he sees, like, a future where, like, he's gonna, like, die in Jessica's arms. So it's, like, doing whatever he can to get into that future.
Even, like walking away from Jessica.
Well, I love, like, the court scene where he's just trying to figure out words to, like, say. Like you, I, e, r, like, and then it just obviously goes out of control in typical like Rick and Morty fashion, where he just like goes full like Akira and like is just like killing like soldiers with like crazy Rick weapons. But then, and then the whole thing with like Rick, where like he's like uploading himself, like he's like he dies, and then like there's like a hologram Rick that shows up to like tell Morty like clone him, but then the Morty's like no, because the Death Crystal is like if the Death Crystal says if he does that then like he won't end up with Jessica, so he's just like So he's like being pestered by like hologram Rick the entire time, and then like actual Rick's like consciousness is getting uploaded to like different universes and like different bodies. So he's like a shrimp Rick and like wasp Rick and like, but then like most of them are like Nazi fascist worlds too. So it's just like this whole like crazy, just like Rick just keeps getting like killed by like Nazis. But yeah, just like just tons of just like Rick and Morty, and like I love all like it has like a typical like premiere ending too, where it's like it seems like they always like the end of the premieres they always do like a meta rant of just, and it's just like, so this one's just like, you know, we'll do some classic Rick and Morty stuff, we'll do some new stuff, maybe we won't do anything at all, who knows, whatever.
Rick and Morty 100 years. Yeah. Rick and Morty.
Yeah. And also, just like, it was just a little thing too, but it's like I could listen to like Chris Parnell just say the word anime like forever, like the way he just says like anime. I don't want to see any more anime shenanigans, Mister.
It is the most white person version of anime.
Yeah. Oh, what are they, I forget what they call it. Like, there's like a mad science boy or something. I forget what the news calls Morty, but it's just like there's a evil science boy running around. Yeah, and just even in, like that, just that sequence where, like Morty's just like going insane, like attacking everybody, like all the weapons that he's using are just like that could be a whole episode of a like that gun turns people into like cuts them like into pieces, but then all the pieces grow legs and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool aspects that they just like are just throwing away as like bit pieces, which is hilarious.
Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely Rick and Morty 100% back. It sucks it's only 5 episodes, but it seems like they're going to be like 5 awesome episodes, hopefully. And then did you see anything else, Chris, this past week or so?
Oh, that's about it. There's a lot. I try to watch all in 1 week.
Yeah. A lot of Disney Plus stuff to kind of the sample. Just be like, oh yeah, Spider-Man, X-Men, Gummy Bears, DuckTales. But yeah, the only other thing besides Disney Plus and Rick and Morty that I saw is I watched Maniac Cop. I'd never seen Maniac Cop before, the first one. That's a weird movie.
It is. It's hard to describe because you're just like, you gotta be in the mood for like weird.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely like kind of an interesting premise where it's just like, well, actually they don't like explain Maniac Cop too much. Like, it's like he was killed but not really, but he's also like, now he's immortal, but he's also like
he's like vulnerable still to other things.
Well, he gets shot, like at one point he gets shot a bunch of times, but then they're also like, oh, he was like, they thought he was dead but he wasn't, but then now he has like magic powers. he's like now he's like invulnerable, but he's also like not a zombie or like not like a demon or something. He's just like he like cheated death. But like, so yeah, Maniac Cop is kind of, it's like his like powers are kind of unclear, because it's like basically like the whole movie that like Bruce Campbell like investigates, and they figure out, they're like, oh, he was wrongfully put in prison, and then like got like shanked in the prison or in the shower, but then like then they thought he was dead, but then he wasn't dead, and then like they like snuck him out of the prison hospital or something, and then he was just like, now he's back, just like killing anyone. So yeah, it's kind of weird, because like it's kind of weird, like he has a vendetta against like the mayor and stuff, but he's also just like killing random people.
He's still doing like just like a murder spree.
Yeah, but then it turns out he has like a specific people he wants to kill, but he's just like killing the other people for fun, I guess, or because he's like a lunatic now. He's a maniac cop. But yeah, like fun seeing like young Bruce Campbell in one of his earliest roles. Like, I think this was this right after like Evil Dead. I think it was right before Evil Dead 2. So I think the only thing Bruce Campbell was in before this was Evil Dead 1.
Yeah, this is like another big role that he just cemented his like cult following.
And then Sam Raimi was also in. He has a cameo in Maniac Cop. He's like the reporter at one point, like reporting on Maniac Cop. But then, Tom Atkins from Halloween 3, and a bunch of other, like The Fog and Night of the Creeps, is the main character, or at least for like the first 2/3 of the movie, it's the main character. Trying to track, I think he was Maniac Cop's like partner or something, or I don't think it was clear, like, is he Maniac Cop's partner, or is he just like he knew Maniac Cop? Like,
I think he knew because it's the same department.
Because at one point they say like that Tom Atkins' partner was killed, and then Tom Atkins started like kill himself, but then it's like. It seemed like they were implying that he was Maniac Cop's partner, but then he wasn't. So it's like that was kind of weird. And also the ending of Maniac Cop is very anticlimactic, and I mean I guess they're setting up the sequel, but they drive a truck off a pier, and then Maniac Cop climbs back off the pier, and then that's the end of the movie. It's just, he's coming back out of the water, and it's like Maniac Cop will be back. I guess.
For three more movies.
Yeah. And the second one will have a rap song. But yeah, a cult classic. A lot of cult actors in it. Robert Sitar obviously is Maniac Cop. Richard Roundtree, aka Shaft, is the police chief, or the mayor. No, he's the police chief. But yeah, so definitely. I watched it on Vudu. I think it was a deal. It was $2 to rent it or something. So I had never seen it before. I kind of want to see 2 just because the only thing I know about 2 is that it has the insane rap song at the end of the credits. So there's a Maniac Cop rap, and I'm just wondering if Maniac Cop 2 is more ridiculous. And have you seen all of them, Chris, or have you seen
I've seen just the first one.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's only 3, right? Maniac Cop 1, 2, 3, and then we're gonna get the Nicholas Winding Refn HBO show, apparently, next year or something, or in the next year or two. Which, who knows what that's going to be, but... But, so Maniac Cop. A little late. didn't watch in time for Halloween, but, any time of the year is good for Maniac Cop. So that's it for me, so we can wrap things up for the week. Definitely head over to the site. Actually, first, definitely head over to our Facebook page, because we are in the midst of our trying to get the help of our Facebook page to figure out the best action movie of the decade. We're doing a bracket. And as you're hearing this, round one is wrapping up. We're going to be getting into round two, and going to have some pretty big round two matchups coming up. So definitely head over to the Facebook page at it's 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern time every single day to vote on the matchups. Yeah, there's a pretty big up. The Raid lost to Expendables 2, which was a pretty shocking up. I thought the Raid was just going to coast to the final 4 or final 5 at least some more rounds. But yeah, Expendables 2 is moving on over the Raid.
Our target audience is mostly American, I think, so. That's not surprising.
But, the Raid was huge, especially, for action fans. So it's a little bit surprising. I guess the combined forces of, every 80s action star is
tempting.
Overpowers Iko Uwe, but... We'll have at least one Iko Uwe, Tony Jaa representation in the next round with Triple Threat. But yeah, definitely head over to the Facebook page and vote on those. And you can see the whole bracket on the website as well. And definitely head to the site as well. We also have our Wish Upon commentary. You can listen to that still. I think we might have a Disney, like some sort of Disney related commentary coming up this month. We might watch one of those old insane Disney Plus movies. And all the regular features up there as well. So have them check that out. And for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, visit everythingaction.com. Email us at contact@everythingaction.com. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. And search for us on the iTunes Music Store and Stitcher.com.